You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
So we were talking about Jake Gardner in the last segment and whether or not maybe his agent, his wife, his family, his friends have had any conversations with him about being a pending unrestricted free agent, biggest payday of his life. Mm-hmm. He's going to be available to him as of July 1st. And he's coming off a really bad back injury. We don't know the true extent of it, but he's back skating.
Right.
And we just broached the idea of someone going to him and saying, maybe take the rest of the year off. And we're not saying this has happened necessarily. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. And I don't think Jake Gardner is going to listen to that advice because he's back practicing, and it kind of sounds like he's going to come back at some point in the next couple of weeks. And the team could really use him. So we were talking about that and the idea of a guy, you know, having such a bad injury where maybe fights through it, tries to play through it, maybe has to have surgery and then is never the same player again.
Right.
Just based on modern medicine. And we referenced that there are a couple of guys playing tonight down at Scotiabank who are coming off gruesome injuries.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard only played 9 games a year ago with the quad injury, but he looks better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George had a gruesome leg injury a couple of years ago. He is better than ever. And we posed the question to the audience, can you think of any athletes that never returned to form after really bad injuries? And a lot of them are pouring in.
The only thing I could think of before you get into the list would be like somebody with a massive concussion in hockey.
Well, people have pointed that out. Chris Pronger never got back.
Right.
Keith Primo.
Mark Savard never got back.
What happened to Justin Morneau in Minnesota?
But
Didn't something happen to him? Same thing. Those guys
never got back. What I'm saying in my question was they came back, but they never got either. They never became the superstar that they should have been or returned to form that they were already.
All right. Here's one that came in via text, 10-50-50, and this is the perfect example. Now, it was multiple injuries. But Derrick Rose.
Yes. Okay.
Derrick Rose won an MVP.
Yeah.
First overall pick for the Bulls. They were a 60-win team.
To blow his knee out, blow this out, blow it. Like he blew every part of his body.
Everything.
Gone.
This is a great one, but it will lead to a debate whether or not it was injury or column B.
Okay.
Tiger Woods.
Ooh.
Column B being
the Perkins,
his wife chasing him with a golf club on U.S. Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I think it's injury. You don't think, I mean, you think there's some.
I think the embarrassment. Like
mental distress.
Yeah, absolutely. The fall from grace, man, I'm not sure we've ever seen anything like it. The fall from grace, like this guy became a punchline for everybody.
One of the biggest things about that is when he returned to Augusta, he wore sunglasses, and a lot of people might not think that that's a big deal, but he'd never worn sunglasses on the golf course ever. But he had the shades on because he just didn't want to look at people or want them looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little tiny thing that you might not pick up on, but I was like, really, the shades are out now?
So do you think his play fell off more because of the injuries or because of the scandal?
I personally think the injuries. I think that he was ready to move on from that, and the embarrassment was gone, and his wife, they got divorced and all that, and it was business as usual, and then his body just fell apart.
Well, we never brought this up earlier in the week. Did you guys see last week at the Players? He was walking between holes from whatever green to whatever tee box, and there was a fan that had a shirt made that featured his mugshot.
Oh, really?
Did you see that? Some guy was walking around with the Tiger Woods mugshot, and Tiger walked by, and Tiger was, like, smirking.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't freak out or snap.
Well, that happened last year at the Valspar, too.
Oh, it was the same kind of thing?
That's classless.
It's such a gutless move.
I think it's such a gutless move. Like, people like that are just losers. Like, that's a loser. I'm going to show up to the course, and you know, yeah, Tiger had a rough go. Like, even that scenario when he was arrested, like, that, you know, that was awfully embarrassing. It was awful for him, period. Could have been extremely dangerous for the public. And, you know, people are just, like, that's the definition of a loser right there. The guy who does that.
Yeah, you're looking for attention.
You're
looking for
attention. You're looking for your 15 minutes of fame because your life is useless.
Yeah, and it went viral. It got out there. I guess we're technically talking about it.
Yeah.
Anthony and others texting in Robert Griffin III. RG3 is a great one. After he blew his knee out, he was never the same. Never the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, medicine can help these guys get back, but there is some psychological damage as well, too. Like, you know, are you strong enough? Are you quick? Are you quicker? Do you feel confident to make some plays?
Someone texting in Eric Carlson. Ever since he really had that bad Achilles injury.
Not
really back to the. He really made a rebound this year, but I don't think it's 100% yet.
Well, now he's got some other issues there that are growing and that. But he still looks pretty good.
Still a good, pretty good player. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun.
Salut.
How you doing, Pierre?
Salut, les gars. I am doing great.
Do you know of any other Canadian teams with executives or owners that want to fire some gas Shots. Into this fire or what?
Yeah, maybe Mark Bergevin or Jeff Molson are ready to fire things up.
Like, right.
I mean, we've got Ottawa, we got Edmonton. Maybe our buddy Jim Benning in Vancouver is usually good for a quote or two.
Yeah, well, I started a bit of a thing in Vancouver today with my piece on Mike Gildas, which wasn't meant to do that, but a lot of Canucks fans reminiscing and posting underneath my column that they want him back now. So that was not the point of the piece. The piece was to tell people what he's been up to in the last 5 years.
What's this guy been up to that's going to make him a hockey genius now, Pierre?
Well, let me tell you, it is fascinating. You really, you should go read it. Now, there are a lot of big words in it.
Well, I can't read it because I scroll down. I scroll down a paragraph and then it all whites out and I can't see anything.
Oh, so you don't have reading. A subscriber? Come on. You got to be an athletic subscriber. Yeah. I'm going to fix you up. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of it. No, it's fascinating. I mean, he's a polarizing figure, as we know. But he has spent the last 5 years traveling the globe and studying sports organizations from different sports and trying to piece together what he believes would be a management program for, you know, if you ever got a chance to run a hockey team again. I also went to a Swiss lab that's a high-end sports science think tank. And I'm telling you, take the time this weekend to read it because it's fascinating stuff, no matter what you may think of Mike Gildas. I think he's a really smart guy who rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but I think deserves another chance. And that's my honest opinion.
Would you share that opinion when it comes to Eugene Melnyk in Ottawa and what he's doing?
Like, I don't know if you saw the higher respondent, Ian Mendez, this morning when he said he got called Bush League. I posted a GIF of the black pot kettle.
Right.
And yeah.
Well, that's what it feels like, right? Like a lot of the stuff that he was doing and saying is Bush League.
You know, until or unless he starts missing payments, there's not much the league can do. But I will tell you, we asked Gary Bettman at the board of GM meetings a couple of weeks ago in Boca Raton about Eugene Melnyk again, and Bettman, you know, essentially came to his defense. So it's frustrating to me because I lived in Ottawa. I went to school there. I was there when the Senators were born, or at least 2.0. And that is a solid market with a passionate fan base, and he is single-handedly destroying a lot of goodwill there. And it's hard to see. It's hard to see as a Canadian, hard to see as anyone who cares about the sport. And it's just wrong. I rarely get, the older I get, I get pretty vanilla about a lot of things because I feel like things come around, go around, and, you know, don't get worked up about too much. I'm really upset by the things that he says and what he's doing to that franchise.
Did you have any issue with him taking a shot at the Maple Leafs and their rebuild and how they're not going to be able to win because they forgot about defense in the rebuild?
I mean, it's just silly. I don't take huge issue with it. I mean, it's just weird to, when you're 37 points back of a rival in the standings, to take a shot like that at another team. But I don't know that it's, you know, I don't know that it's out of bounds. I just think it's silly. You know, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I said earlier, I think that is actually going to – if there's one thing he can do to get into the good graces of Senator fans, it's take shots at the Maple Leafs. I mean, that's foolproof. That's one way every fan's going to be like, yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. You're right. Good call.
Yeah, but the majority of the Sens fan base is smarter than that. They see through that. Like, come on. Now, here's the thing. I mean, honest to goodness, I mean – you know, you guys know this. They actually have a lot coming. I mean, Noodles does a ton of their games. They have a lot of they have guys coming up the pipeline. It's an organization that, through all their turbulence over the past 15 years, continues to draft pretty well. So there is that. But the question is, you know, that's what we said when Mark Stone was a young player. You know, like, here's the next wave. Well, he's gone. And you know, this is a franchise. This is an owner that alienated Daniel Alfredsson, the most popular player in franchise history, out of his circle. Fired Cyril Leader, who did all kinds of important work on the business side for the Senators for many years. And, you know, Mark Stone is gone. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but he's doing okay in Vegas.
With Pierre LeBrun, I wanted to mention that up. We haven't brought that up. He laid a beating on Winnipeg last night.
Did you see the hit by Stone on Wheeler, too? They ended up dropping the glove. Like, that was – that. You remember Bufflin on Stone? Was that Bufflin on Stone a couple of years ago? That was one of the hardest hits you've ever seen.
But just think about how happy that guy is. Getting out of that mess, moving to Vegas – they're 9-1 since he's got there.
10-1 now.
10-1, and yeah. He just must be like he's in heaven.
Yeah.
It certainly would feel like it. And listen, it was always written to me in the stars that he would end up there. You guys remember we've talked about this months and months before the trade deadline. That his relationship with Kelly McCrimmon, I always thought was going to come into play here, and it did at the end of the day. Even though there were other teams bidding. You know, they're not only 10-1 since he's got there, but I've talked to people in that organization. The second he got there, it's like everyone grew an inch. That top line, that William Karlsson top line with Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault, they had been kind of up and down all year, much like their team.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not saying there's a link to this, but the second that guy, Mark Stone, arrives on the scene, that top line is back to being like last year. It's as if they're saying, all right.
They were damn good last night.
You know, we know what this guy's about. We got to, you know, let's all raise our game here. That's the feeling I get looking from the outside in. And you know, it's just unreal. And on a very technical, basis, they never really found a replacement for Eric Holla when he went out early back in September.
Yeah.
He was a key second line member. They never quite figured out what to do there. So Stone drops in on Stastny and Pacioretty. I guess that's the second line. And Alex Tuch gets to move to the third line where he gets better matchup, gets a little more sheltered, and he's a good two-way player. It's all working right now for that team. And as long as Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be healthy, and he should be for the playoffs, he's not seriously hurt right now. You know, they have the edge over San Jose and Calgary in goal.
Yeah, they do.
So I'm telling you, and I know a lot of people will be offended by this or will not be cheering for this, but I'm not so sure Vegas isn't going back to the Cup final.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I mean, realistically, what Calgary, Winnipeg, Nashville, and I still think San Jose and Vegas, there's five teams that are pretty strong out there, and it could be, it could come down to goaltending, could come down to health, but there will be some pretty good battles. We've been talking about the East so much, about Boston and the Leafs and whoever Tampa takes on. But out West, there's going to be some wars.
You right now, there is not a division title that is more important in the entire league than the Pacific title.
Yeah.
Because you want to avoid Vegas. You want to win the Pacific, play, you know, whether it's Dallas or Minnesota or Colorado or Arizona, you know, listen, those are good teams, but let's be honest, they're not Vegas. And then you hope that, like, let's say Calgary wins the Pacific. You hope San Jose and Vegas go 7, much like Boston and Toronto did last year. And then whoever survives 7 limps into the second round, like Boston did last year, and, you know, it just has nothing left to play Tampa. Well, that's what you want if you're Calgary or San Jose. Win the Pacific and hope that there's enough, you know, that there's enough fatigue in Vegas after the first round. That's really, it's got to be your best hope. So the reason I bring that up is that, you know, you might be in a pretty good spot if you're Calgary or San Jose in the last week of the regular season and thinking, should we rest that guy or that guy's not 100%. I'm telling you right now, I would treat every game like a playoff game until you win that division just to avoid Vegas.
Well, and Calgary's up 5 points right now. So they're truly in the driver's seat.
Yeah,
they're in a very good spot. And I think we would all have the same impression and conversation ongoing in the Atlantic Division if Tampa wasn't 20 points up on everybody else.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and I'll be honest, all week I've been sounding very defeated at the idea of anybody being able to challenge Tampa. I just think they're the deepest team. They're the most skilled team. Mm. And then let's say they all have an off night. They've got the best goalie in the league who can do what he did a couple of nights ago and make 50 stops, and they're going to win anyway. But watching Carey Price and the Habs, I wonder, is Carey Price the only guy in the league capable of taking them down by himself? Because all he needs is four games in the playoffs. Yeah. If they backdoor and they're the eighth seed and they play Tampa, can Carey Price give you four, basically 170 stops over four games?
Yeah, you're needing 45 a night.
Can he give you 170 over four?
He can, because he's Carey Price. I've worked our games all year on our TSN regional package. But you already mentioned the reason why I think Tampa's going to be so hard to beat. Even if Carey Price is Carey Price apex, the guy at the other end of the ice is Andrei Vasilevskiy. And so, when Montreal upset Washington in 2010, I consider that the greatest upset of the salary cap era. Like, the point difference in the standings was, 25 points, I think? Washington outshot Montreal by at least 25 every night, and they got halacked.
Yeah.
But part of the problem in that series is they also didn't get a save on the other end when Montreal had their one scoring chance a night. And I just think that's part of why Tampa is going to be so hard to beat, is that even if you run into a Carey Price, or Braden Holtby or Freddie Anderson, whatever you want to say, your guy might be the best goalie in the world.
Yeah, he's going to win the Vezina.
I mean, I would vote for him if I was a GM. So, listen, no one's unbeatable in the salary cap era. Everyone has holes. And I think the way Washington played Tampa this week, even though they lost both games, but if you watch the game closely, Washington gave Tampa all they could handle. And that's a team, I think, that could certainly give Tampa all they could handle. I think Boston is well-suited, too. I know where you're going, Brian, and certainly, I mean, listen, this week was the week where the Habs were supposed to fold and say goodbye. And you could just tell Carey Price that, that's not happening this week. And he goes into Philly and is unbelievable. And then last night puts up a donut against the Islanders. He's a guy that can do that, right? I just think with Tampa, there's another Carey Price at the other end.
Yeah.
We'll be sure to be watching for you on the Habs regional package, Pierre.
Oh, I know you watch. You sent me the odd text, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I was, I went down there just for you guys today to the MasterCard and asked Mike Babcock the question about him and Kyle Dubas. I thought it was time to ask the question.
Was that you who sparked that whole reaction?
That was me.
How schooled was Babcock? Because he sure sounded like he had that thing prepared and ready to answer.
He was, yeah. I mean, listen, I've known Mike Babcock a long time. And, you can agree or disagree with some of the things he says or does, obviously. That's your job. But he does not, those types of questions, he'll answer them. I mean, ask him, and he'll give you an answer.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Pierre. The original answer was, we don't have enough depth. We're not, and now this one was different. So which one is it, is my point. Because I think the original answer was the real thought.
I thought he doubled down on we don't have enough depth today.
Well, but
he gave it a better coding.
What he said was, we're not Tampa, which goes without saying. We know you're not Tampa. Everyone, there's only one Tampa. But
I think the other thing that he acknowledged today, which surprised me to some degree because it put us behind the curtain for one second, is that he said that him and Dubas had talked about this controversy, that they had talked about the fact that this had become a story, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
He didn't really have to tell us that. And I think that's important because what you're saying is you're admitting that that it needed to be talked about. Let's put it that way.
Well, and I think it should have. And I'm glad you asked that question. And I think it's in the best interest of everyone involved with the Maple Leafs to put it to bed and end it. Dermott's coming back. It seems likely that he'll be back soon. I think Gardner could be back soon based on what Dermott was telling us this morning. And they got a good team, and they're going to the playoffs. So why?
And you know what? Two things. I know we're running late here, Brian, but I want to get this in.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's important. Number one is, if you had Ken Holland on the show right now, he would tell you the type of conversations he had with Mike Babcock at times in Detroit. And it was like at times he had to tell Mike, you coach, I'll GM. And those guys are friends for life. But that there was angst at times, good angst. Like, but there was, you know, Babcock wanted that player or that player, and he would tell his GM. That's the relationship they had in Detroit. So it's a, I always say it's important to remember some of the past, too. Number two, in terms of the Boston matchup, guys, and I know no one's, a lot of people aren't giving the Leafs a chance. I was talking to a Leafs player about this today, and I'll leave his name out of it because we were just shooting the shoot. But he totally agreed with this statement. And I said, you know, everyone hates the playoff format. If you guys beat Boston for the first, you know, if you finally beat them, what that would do to your room and to your psyche moving into the second round would be unreal. It would be worth more than a first-round win against any other team. And he totally agreed. He goes, that's something he had thought about too. So I'm just saying, everyone hates that matchup, and people are in Toronto are down on it. I actually think it might be the best thing for them.
I think it's a great point.
Yep.
And I hope that's the mentality they have.
Get your dog some food, buddy.
Yeah.
Go take care of that dog.
I got one of my dogs barking here. I don't know.
All right, buddy.
I'm having a nice glass of red wine, my first one of the weekend here.
Yeah, attaboy. Get after it for us tonight.
Mail it in Friday.
There you go. All right, Pierre. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Good chat, boys.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. That's a good point. That, like, obviously, it should go without saying. The idea of them beating Boston would be so much more meaningful than beating any other team. It's not even close. Habs included.
But it's winning a round. That's something that they've been starving for forever.
Obviously.
Too.
Trust me, the old
Boston
saying of
big.
Just get in is so true. Who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Maybe an upset somewhere else, and you're like, man, if we can just get through here, maybe we got a shot. That's how it happened.
I hear you.
I was with the Carolina Hurricanes. We beat out New Jersey, and everyone else in the conference was like, thank God they're out. And then a couple other teams were out, and we're like, we got to get through Montreal and then Toronto.
Did you have a history against New Jersey, though?
Yeah, we played them a couple times in the playoffs.
So didn't it mean something that you beat them?
Oh, yeah. They were Marty Brodeur, Scott Stevens.
Exactly. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying here. You know, they'll be excited in that room regardless of who they play and who they beat. If the Leafs win a round, I don't think they're going to be short on excitement. But I do think psychologically it would mean a lot to beat the Bruins. And I think it would mean a ton for the fan base in this city.
Yeah, it would.
And I'm not suggesting that the players are concerning themselves with that right now, but the psyche of this fan base, whenever you mention Boston in general, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, it hasn't gone so well for Toronto.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's going to be a pick 'em. I think it's a coin flip.
Oh, it should be a great series.
Well, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to happen. And
Future headlines brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. More likely future headline. The Vegas Golden Knights make it back to the Stanley Cup Final. Or the Tampa Bay Lightning lose in the first round? More likely.
We giving it now?
Go ahead.
Vegas. Yeah. I don't see Tampa losing in the first round, regardless of who makes that in. Even, I mean, I watched Carey Price last night. He was ridiculous. But I just, man, Tampa just, they don't, like, they're just a machine.
They should win the Stanley Cup. I mean.
They're just a machine. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Playoffs, that's why you play the games. You have no idea. Something could happen. The wheels could fall off there in just a one-week scenario, and they can't get it back on, and a goalie gets hot or something. But I still think it could be Vegas.
I think it is, too.
Vegas is on fire.
They're crushing teams right now.
Yeah.
Like, they look great. They look like the Vegas team that went on the heater to the Cup Final a year ago.
Yeah.
We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs, Carolina, April 2nd. Every day this week, we have been providing you with the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And today is the final clue and the final chance for you to call in and name this Leaf. The final clue, Friday's clue. This Maple Leaf was part of the Hurricanes' famous BBC line. This Maple Leaf was part of the Hurricanes' famous BBC line. Phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in to name that Leaf. You're going to see Leafs Canes next week. We got a poll question going here. Our final four, the worst beer league teammate. We'll recap the results. We'll get into it next. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. You can subscribe and check us out on iTunes as well. Up on Spotify. You can find the podcast everywhere. And this is Overdrive on TSN Radio and on the TSN app. So earlier in the week, people have been wondering why we haven't been on TV. We're in the backup studio.
Yeah.
And they're building a new studio. And I was going to make an announcement today, but we're going to hold off on that.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to make the announcement early next week. I think most people can kind of connect the dots, but...
We are getting a new studio.
We're getting a new studio, but there's going to be an added element to the show.
Okay. This I don't know. We'll have to discuss off air. There's, I mean, the rumor mill is very hot right now.
Oh, it's a hot item, the rumor mill.
There's people that think they've got the scoop.
There really isn't that many scoops.
No.
But what would be the most ridiculous rumor attached to our show that would be borderline believable? Is there anything you can think of on the fly here?
Grapples is full-time on the show.
No, the one was, I thought the one floating yesterday was we were like going like air. 2-6.
Yeah, but
he would go nuts. Do you think like...
What? 2-6? You just say 2-6?
No, they're adding it out. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, I would quit. I don't know where that came from, but that's not happening.
No.
That one we can put to bed quickly.
Yeah, we'll put that
We're not there. Adding anything to the show.
Yeah.
What would you do if they said, it's now 3-7?
I would be fine with that. I used to do 4 hours of radio every single day.
You wouldn't complain at all?
Well, I'm not doing it for free.
Well, yeah.
I can tell you that.
No, but all I could think about
if they came to us and we talked something out, I don't know, whatever.
All I could think about is if they were like, yeah, just, well, by the way, like, you know, this is what it is now. It's a four-hour show. He would just walk out.
I couldn't do it. I can't.
Yes, you could do it.
I think we could.
No. Dude, you're a human being. You can do it. It's not like I'm asking you to climb Mount Kilimanjaro and, you know, without a Sherpa or something.
No. 3 is all I got. I used to like Leaf Lunch when it was 2.
I think we're good here.
You could do 4.
There's
not enough to talk about for 4 hours.
Yes, there is. There's a million things.
This guy did it by himself.
By myself, I'd do 4 hours. Now, there'd be some rambling at some point. But I got a million stories here that we haven't hit on yet today.
I know.
You guys see, let me throw this one on the table. Terry Francona, the manager for the Tribe, I guess he was exercising. I think what I read was like he was at a pool or something and he was swimming. He was exercising. Somehow he got connected with a former Navy SEAL who basically convinced him to jump out of a plane to try skydiving. So he did it, and he loved it, and now he's roped a couple of his coaches into doing it with him.
Really?
But I kind of feel like this is almost peer pressure. Like, this would be like us going to Mullen and the Graps and being like, you know, it would be good for you if you came with us. Like, we're jumping out of a plane, but if you want to be a part of the team,
yeah, I wouldn't do
maybe
that.
You should come up with me. You know, like, it's almost like, yeah, I guess we have to, or else the skip is going to think we're weak or something like that.
But would you do it? Like, I would
never.
I did it in Vegas. I showed up, drove up, got out, saw the people ahead of me, and I said, no, thanks.
So what, you were planning on jumping out of the plane?
Yes.
How could you, of all people, think that you were going to be able to jump out of a plane?
It was a weak moment.
My buddy, what's that word? They dip you with a what? Bungee jump.
Like a bungee jump.
He did the naked one. They give it to you for free if you go naked. He said the problem was they dipped you in the water. This was in Kananaskis out west. And he said the water was really cold. So it kind of rattled him when he came back up.
Come up a new man.
Because he was trying to be a bit of a hero. And he said, you know, it was really cold.
Shrinkage.
Yeah, there was some shrinkage. But I couldn't do it.
Me neither.
I would be the one that the percentage, the low percentage that the chute doesn't open or something goes wrong.
That's why I'd be so paranoid. Like, I'm so neurotic with that. I can't picture myself enjoying it. Like, I know that people do. Like, that's why they love doing it.
For
and
sure.
There are people that are just enthusiasts when it comes to jumping out of planes. My understanding is bungee jumping is way more dangerous. Way more dangerous.
Well, you wonder why. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm sure it's gotten a lot better, but it's like... Some of these carnivals, the carnies that put the rides together, like the
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
it's people, like, you're trusting them for the length of the rope, the extension of the rope.
Yeah. Like, they're not scientists.
No, they're not.
Putting
they're
it
like,
together.
We think we got it out. You know, yeah. I think it's all good. You jump and then hope that you don't go all the way through and hit the ground and kill yourself.
Think of the carnies, how hungover they are at the C&E putting those rides together.
It scares me.
With a screwdriver and a drill bit.
Yeah, I get a little bit scared.
And a Labatt Blue.
Yeah, just crushed the night before.
Well, and probably during, too, while working the machines. You know,
I don't know what the rules and regulations are when it comes. Like the CNE, it's a great event. I go down every year, pretty much. But I'm not going on those roller coasters. The sound of them alone. You get south of Blue, you can hear those things.
Yeah, like honestly, when it's climbing, like it's scary.
Yeah.
But I go to the CNE for one reason. And one reason only.
Deep fried.
No. What? Corn on the cob. Best in the business.
Corn on the cob.
Dude, it comes, you just butter it and salt it. It's like roasted corn.
I've never seen that down there.
What are you talking about? There's a station, but they're barbecuing corn all over the place.
Does it have the leaves on it? You peel the leaves back.
See, I don't like the husk. I can't husk. I've got like an allergic reaction to husking corn.
You've got an allergic reaction to husk?
That's just a bull crap excuse to not do it. You're that guy. You know what? I can't do it. I'm allergic.
I'm telling you, man. I've had an allergic reaction up at the cottage.
So when you were a kid, you got the skin test.
Ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
And that's what came back, the corn husk.
So the doctor looked at you and said, I've been husking corn.
Dude, it hasn't been officially diagnosed, but
because
I'm telling
you. Because
you
had 50 beers.
Maybe you got bit by a spider or something. It wasn't the corn.
I had hives right after I was husking corn for 25 minutes. I can't husk corn.
You washed it down with like 10 beer or something. Like something else was involved there.
That's not even a thing.
I don't even think you can be allergic to corn husk.
Oh, absolutely you could.
Really?
It's a leaf, basically, isn't it? Like it's essentially that's what it is.
It's not poison ivy.
It's natural.
It's a piece of corn.
Yeah, but there's, you know, like what do you call whatever corn is?
The corn husker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Corn allergy isn't as common as some allergic reactions to food, but when it occurs, it can be severe.
Thank you. That was me. I was a mess.
Symptoms can range from itching, redness, and nasal congestion to wheezing and throat swelling.
That was me.
Wow.
Like, I'm telling you, man, those are my symptoms. I was husking corn.
Those are my symptoms.
I was husking corn, and I thought I was going to drop up in Muskoka.
Ambulance?
I was like, what's going on? It was like, you know, I would assume that's what.
Shortness in breath.
Yeah, I was not feeling well. I'm telling you.
Were you Griffin, though? Like, where's it?
It could have been it. Probably was the pizza I ate in three bites. Took down a Delicio in 25 seconds.
Delicio.
But it's the corn.
The corn husk allergy.
Yeah, wow. I don't know, man. I don't remember seeing. I'm not challenging you on that because you are obviously very familiar with it. But I've never gone down to the X and ever thought about corn.
I've had
best corn in the league.
I've had it there. It's actually outstanding.
So you are aware of the corn.
Dude, any corn at a festival or carnival or a state fair, dynamite. Dynamite.
Yeah, I love a corn. I like eating corn. I'm not saying I'm allergic to eating corn.
Well, then you're not allergic to husking it. You would break out in hives.
So you don't eat corn on the cob at all?
I do. I love it.
You just
quite
can't
enjoy
peel
it.
So
I can't,
that
I can't
means
peel
he's
it.
Not allergic to it.
Well, because some of the husk still gets kind of caught in the corn, so you may eat that.
Well, I'm willing to gamble on that.
Yeah, I would take a little bit.
I live
bit
on
of
the edge, Noodles.
I would take a swollen throat for some
right
some
before
good,
everyone
good.
Was husking the corns, he just grabbed a skunk in the woods and rubbed it all over his face.
Some people jump out of planes for a thrill. I eat corn, even though I'm allergic to husking it. I'm such a wild guy.
You two live dangerously.
Yeah,
I love that.
Wild and wacky guy. All right, so our poll question today, our final four, we've been asking people to vote on Twitter at Overdrive1050, the worst beer league teammate. And the Snapshow, a.k.a. the Loose Cannon, is running away with the vote. 57% over the two seed, the guy who thinks he's great but really sucks. And I would vote that. I think that's an obvious one. Like this feel like there's nothing worse than the guy who's yelling at his teammates, his buddies, you know, the guy who's responding to an email because some guy had the audacity to say, sorry, guys, can't make it. My kid's sick. I'm not going to make it.
Right.
This guy replies with, you're soft as butter and a loser and you're cut, you know, or the guy who goes out there and when he's playing is picking fights or looking for a fight, like lurking for fights.
Hero.
Yeah.
Hero guy.
So Loose Cannon is going to be your number one seed, and it looks like it's going to win today's installment of the Overdrive Final Four poll question. Any problems with that?
No. I'm all over it. I think that's great.
All right. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Duke is in action tonight. We'll tee that up. The Raptors are in action down at Scotiabank. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Dude, that's a lie. You're not allergic to corn. Someone's calling you out, too. On.
No. He's getting texts.
No,
people are like...
someone sent a text in saying, and I'm reluctant to read this.
Okay. Go ahead, read it.
Have you ever heard of the website Cornhub? No, but we'll look into it.
Yeah.
The Raptors are favored at home. It sounds like Kawhi's going tonight. Rare back-to-back with Oklahoma City in town. But the Raptors know where they're going. Second seed in the East, gearing up for the playoffs. Lowry won't play tonight, but they dodged a bullet on that. He's going to be back. I think the biggest news in Leafland today was that Travis Dermott was practicing with the team, non-contact jersey, but still practicing with the team. And he said after practice he feels pretty good, and he thinks he'll be back at some point in the next two or three games.
Perfect.
And he thinks Jake Gardner's coming along pretty well, too. Now, who knows? I mean, Gardner didn't say that himself, and neither did Babcock or the medical staff. But that's really the only thing that's hanging over this team right now. You get Dermott and Gardner back and close to 100%, you really don't have any excuses. You don't. You know, it doesn't matter your depth. It doesn't matter that you're not Tampa. It doesn't matter that you don't have home ice.
Right.
No one's going to accept an excuse if you lose to Boston again.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. You know, that's where we're going. It's going to be great. We just got to get through eight games, you know, starting tomorrow night with the Rangers at home. And I think Freddie's going to play tomorrow. But, you know, I said off the top of the show, if I'm the Leafs, I'm sitting down with him today and I'm mapping out the final eight games and I'm saying, you're playing in four. Let's figure this out.
4-4.
I mean, I don't know if you would agree with that.
Yeah, honestly, I could even see a 5-3 mix, but I'd have to, you know, dig into the teams. The only one off the top of my head, what you said, the last two games are Tampa, Montreal. I would give Sparks Tampa. There's just no reason that if it didn't go well that night to give any shadow of doubt heading into the playoffs. And then you've got to look at rest days in between your last game and that opening game in Boston, whether you go Wednesday or the Thursday, because, you know, the schedule isn't set. But if you had your guess, they go Wednesday night?
No, I think they'd go Thursday.
Thursday, Saturday, right?
Matchup Saturday night for hockey night.
That's what I would think, too. So if you're looking at just days, so then the Saturday game against Montreal and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's four practice days or four, you know, managing your body days. So it may be a scenario. And that Tampa game's Thursday.
Yep, that would be a week out.
Yeah, it's a week out. A week is, for me, a little too much. I'd like the 4 days. Because the Sunday you take off, the Monday you're back to work, nice practice, go over some technical stuff. Tuesday, ramping it up. Wednesday, practice and on the road, you fly in, and then Thursday, you rock them. Mm-hmm. Like that's the way I would lay it out. And I'm sure Steve Briere is a really bright goaltender coach. I guarantee you him and Mike have sat down and had a bunch of different scenarios. And that's what you do. You lay it out and you say, they take a look at so many different things, records against teams and you know what's best for the workload of the starter. Oh, we do need to get Sparks a game here just before the end of the season in case he has to go in. You want him feeling good and feeling sharp too. Like that's the type of stuff that will be bounced around in those coaches' rooms. So I for at least maybe 5-3, I would say from today on. Five starts for Freddie, three for Sparks. I'd be comfortable with that.
That's fine. I mean,
that's all you need.
I don't have. Yeah, exactly. Like 4 or 5, whatever.
Yeah,
but you're not running them out.
No, you're not running 7
outside of the back to back.
Put it this way: Carey Price is playing every game until Montreal's decided either they're in the playoffs or out.
Has to.
And there is some back. There's at least one. I thought there was maybe two back to back.
Yeah, you're right. I saw you on SportsCenter a couple of nights ago. He's got to go. He's got to play every single game.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board, I'm on Washington at home, the return of Brucey Boudreaux. Minnesota's in Washington tonight. But I am on the Caps, and I'm on San Jose and Anaheim. Throw down 20, you can score 42. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. We didn't touch on the Dalton Pompey news from yesterday, and it became official today. He's officially diagnosed with a concussion. Because he ran into some bats in his locker. Like, does that pass the smell test for you? How would that happen?
Who knows?
Like, how many times did you run into goofy injuries from guys on your team?
Not even guys on my team. You hear stuff outside. I don't know if you remember.
You hear stories of guys.
Yeah,
that
like
they
remember John Graham, the goalie in Boston? You heard he stepped off a curb and broke his ankle at 2 o'clock in the morning outside a bar in Boston. Like, and they believe he got suspended for it without pay. I think Harry Sinden may have been the GM at the time. But, you know, I don't hear.
No, that was outside of the field of play. Like, by all accounts, this was literally in the clubhouse, you know. I guess he ran into bats. I don't know how you'd do that.
I don't know. I thought there was a bat rack. I know guys. Some guys might have bats in their stall or whatever, yeah. But what, did they fall from the roof? Or like?
Only other one that I heard of within the scope of within your business, like Craig Anderson was juggling balls off the wall in a warm-up and got himself in the eye this year and missed one or two games.
Yeah.
Like yeah. That one. Because I remember covering the game and Anderson was not available and the injury was an eye injury from a tennis ball in the eye, which is, you know, I mean, that's hard luck.
No kidding. Well, and Pompey's had a lot of bad luck.
Right.
Multiple concussions, injuries, and this was kind of his chance. He kind of had to break camp with the team, yeah. And it's not going to happen. All right, it's been a fun week. Next week, I believe we're still going to be in this studio potentially for a show or two, but we'll let you know. And eventually, we're going to get into the new studio, and we're going to have a big announcement that pertains to the show at some point next week. We're looking forward to that.
We're going to get back at everything and cover everything from the weekend at 4 p.m.
Join us. There's the Pooley, join us.
We never got into the join us Pooley.
We forgot.
We didn't know what to think about it.
It was just a...
One more time.
Join us. We really put him on the spot, and he buckled.
Right, join us Monday at 4 p.m.
I guess
join
us. Never listens to the end of the show. Because if you listen to the show, you know we'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
And we'll chat then.
Join us.